Amen. All right, we're going to get into the message tonight. I realize what time it is, but don't get nervous. There's nothing, you ain't got nowhere to go. I know it's the first day of football, but tonight's game doesn't matter. Cowboys are playing. So it's okay. You got nowhere to go, right? And so it's all right. Don't worry about the time. I can feel him looking at me, but I'm not looking his way. I can just feel the pressure here, but I'm not going to look. I'm going to act like he's not there. But I'll tell you this. I was thinking about this when that video was going, and I'm serious. This is the thought that went through my mind. I thought, I need to tell my children, and I may forget to do that, and so I want to do it now publicly so that other children can hear it. I'll tell you this. A lot of people want to put the people that play football on a pedestal and make them into heroes. I'm going to tell you right now, we got a hero in our midst tonight. I want my children to know. You want to know what a hero is? Brother Muller and his wife are heroes. And I know he wouldn't want me to say that, but I watched that video and I was sitting there thinking, would to God that my children would get a hold of the truth that ain't no football player no hero. Ain't no basketball player no hero. Ain't no Hollywood musician a hero, but somebody that'll give their life to go to a village where people are steeped in Catholicism and religion and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a hero.
Amen.
In my book, that's a hero.
Amen.
And so, Brother Muller, thank you so much for being here tonight, and I know you don't want any attention from it, and I know who he wants to get all the attention for it. He gets it all. He's the real hero. He's the hero. You say, who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's the hero. That's the hero. And I just want to praise him tonight. I'm so glad to be in the house of God, and I'm so glad that my children are coming up in the house of God. I hope my children are listening, and I hope they get that truth tonight. I'm going to look at 1 Kings chapter number 19. I am going to try to be fairly quick tonight, but I do have something I believe God wants me to share with you. We looked last week at the discouragement of Elijah. And I find it interesting that right after the discouragement of Elijah, and I'll just kind of give you a little bit of a recap of that. I talked about the symptoms of his discouragement, the sources of his discouragement. And then last week we ended with the solutions of his discouragement. And if you'll remember, God refreshed him. God gave him some rest, some sleep. God fed him and refreshed him. And then God allowed him to reflect. He took him up on Mount Horeb there, somewhere in that area where Moses had spent time with God. And God allowed Elijah to reflect upon some things. And then God began to help Elijah to refocus. He said, Elijah, I want you to go stand before the Lord. And you'll find in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, right when Elijah steps on the scene of Scripture, I believe it's verse number 2, where the Bible says, Elijah goes to Ahab and he says, the Lord before whom I stand, right? And so Elijah's kind of gotten discouraged and gotten, I think, a little off track. And God says, Elijah, I want you to refocus. I want you to go stand before me. Go into the mountain and stand before me. And he says, I want you to refocus. And then after that, in verse number 15, it says, and the Lord said unto him, go. And he says, return. He says, Elijah, I got something I want you to do. I want you to return. And I got to say this, I almost had Pastor just read verses 19 through verse 21. But I thought as I was looking at it, I said, well, all them times he's had me read a bunch of names I couldn't say, I'm going to let him start verse 15 and see how he does with that. But verse number 15, God said, Elijah, return. Right? I've got something I want you to do. And I find it interesting that right after Elijah was discouraged, God gives Elijah a job. And a part of that job is what I want to preach on tonight. And I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the discipleship of Elijah. The discipleship or the disciple of Elijah. God says to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to return and I've got something I want you to do. I want you to invest in someone else. I can't tell you the times I've heard our pastor say from this pulpit. I've heard him say it from his chair in his living room. I've heard him say it sitting in an office while he was counseling someone. And I've heard him say so many times, the best cure for discouragement is getting your eyes off of yourself and getting them on someone else. It doesn't take long when you get your eyes on someone else and you begin to invest in someone else. God just begins to minister to you. And I just find it interesting that right after Elijah is discouraged, God says, Elijah, I got a job for you. I want you to return and I want you to invest in someone else. And that's what I want to preach on tonight. I want to talk about the discipleship of Elijah. Now, there's a couple aspects to discipleship and I want to look at those tonight. The first thing I want to look at is the prophet, Elijah. We've been looking at the prophet Elijah for, I don't even know, I didn't count. I think maybe 8 to 10 messages so far. Maybe I've preached on this character, Elijah. And tonight we're going to look at the prophet Elijah and see his part in discipleship. And so the first thing I want to look at is the prophet's instruction. Verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus." Right? And he says, "When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel." And here it is, "And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." So God says, Elijah, I got something I want you to do. He gives him some instruction, right? You see it? He said, "Go, Elijah." He gives Elijah instruction in discipleship. He says, "I want you to go and I want you to anoint Elisha to take your place." I thought about that and I thought about the New Testament and how that applies to us. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 2, the Bible says this, Paul talking to Timothy, kind of his protege or his disciple, Paul says to Timothy, Paul says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." So Paul says to Timothy, "Timothy, you go and you take what I've given you and you give it to someone else," right? And that's what God's telling Elijah. He's saying, "Elijah, go to Elisha and I want you to anoint him to take your place. I want you to go and I want you to get this disciple and I want you to disciple him." The Bible talks about in Matthew chapter number 28, verse 19. We all know that verse of scripture. Jesus told the disciples, we call it the Great Commission. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." And he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations," right? "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them, discipling them," right? "To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always." Forgive me, Brian. Don't laugh at me, man. That ain't funny. He's laughing. Hurts me. Right? But the New Testament, right? That's a part of discipleship, right? Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," right? "Go to all nations and teach them, disciple them." Right? And so that's what God is telling Elijah to do. And that's what God has told us to do. I believe God has given us that responsibility. He's given us that instruction. That's what we just saw in video form. A man going into all the world, preaching the gospel, but not just preaching the gospel, then teaching the gospel and teaching them to observe all things, discipling them to grow and become better Christians, right? That's what discipleship is. And God told Elijah, "Elijah, I've got some instructions for you. I want you to return and go. I want you to anoint Elisha to take your place." One man said this, I wrote it down. He said, "We long for success, but you can't have success without a successor." What a statement. All of us long for success, but I don't know that you can have success without a successor. And so God tells Elijah, "Elijah, it's time to train your successor. I want you to go and I want you to anoint Elisha. I want you to disciple him." The word disciple means to teach. It means to train. It means to show him what to do. And I believe God is telling Elisha, that's what your next task is, Elijah. Your next job is to disciple Elisha. And so, number one, I see the prophet's instruction. Number two, I want to look at the prophet's invitation. Look at verse number 19. It says, "So he departed." You know, when God says do something, that's a good way to respond. Amen. God said, "Elijah, go." return. And immediately, Elijah, the Bible says next, so he departed. He did what God said do. So he departed and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. So you see, number one, we see the prophet's instruction. Number two, we see the prophet's invitation. You say, I don't see it, Brother David. Well, you got to kind of read between the lines. Elijah came, and the Bible says he cast his mantle upon Elisha. I'm not 100% sure all that means, but I read a little bit about it, and in that culture, I believe it was a sign of Elisha knowing. Elisha knew what it meant, and by what he does, it's obvious that he knew what it meant. Elijah was coming to Elisha, and he was telling Elisha, I want you to come with me. I want you to learn from me. He cast his mantle upon him, and so he invites Elisha to follow him. He invites Elisha to come be with him. So he went and he found Elisha. You know, I think it's interesting that he found Elisha working. That's interesting. God's looking for people that are working. Right? And so when God tells Elijah to go, I'm sure it was very encouraging to Elijah. I don't know if Elijah and Elisha knew one another at this point in time. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But I'm sure it was very encouraging to Elijah when he went looking for Elisha and he came and found Elisha. I'm sure it was very encouraging to see that Elisha was working. Right? He said, at least I got something I can work with there. He's not a lazy man. Right? And so Elijah comes and we see the prophet's invitation. I wonder if we're looking for someone to disciple. The Bible says he went and found Elisha. You see that? Look at it in verse number 19. It says he departed thence and found Elisha. You know, I think on and I'm going to talk about this from both angles. We're talking about the prophet right now. Here in a moment, we're going to look at the pupil, okay, in discipleship. But I just wonder tonight, us that have been at it a little while, I feel like I'm in a transition period. I honestly do. I was preparing this message, and God was really speaking to me. And I've been the pupil for close to 20 years now. And in some ways, I've been the teacher. I've been teaching our youth, and I've been involved in Sunday school. But God really spoke to me and said, who are you trying to find? Who are you trying to teach? Who are you trying to train? Who are you trying to disciple? And so I wonder tonight, on a Sunday night, in a great church, and I'm preaching to some people that have been in church for a long time, I wonder tonight, are you looking for someone to disciple? Are you looking for someone to train? Are you looking for someone to teach? Some of our bus workers, it'd be good to find someone to teach about the bus ministry. Some of our Sunday school teachers, it'd be good to find someone to teach that, how to teach that Sunday school class. It'd be good for someone that's a great soul winner, someone that's a great seed sower, someone that's good at witnessing for Christ. It'd be good to find some young Christian and take them with you and teach them and disciple them on soul winning. Some of you that are talented and God's given you a gift of music, it'd be good to take that gift that God's given you. I appreciate Brother Greg helping Leah with the guitar, and some of you helping others play the piano. Brother Terry's got the orchestra. It's an opportunity to teach someone. And so Elijah is the prophet, and we see his invitation to Elisha, and he went and he found Elisha, and he told Elisha, "Come with me. I'm gonna help you." And so we see number one, we looked at the prophet's instruction. God gave it. We saw the prophet's invitation. He come to Elisha and said, "Follow me." And then I want to see the prophet's investment. I mentioned that word a minute ago. You know, if we're going to disciple people, it's going to be an investment. It's going to cost us something. Elijah goes and he invests in Elisha. I wonder who you're investing in. I wonder who's invested in you. I thought about some people that have invested in my life. I don't think that words can describe the importance of this aspect of discipleship. It takes investment. What we saw tonight on video is investment. It's someone that is investing. It's putting themselves on the line to help someone else. And I really believe that that's what Elijah does. You know, Elijah invested greatly in Elisha. I'm not sure about these numbers. I read numerous different things. I looked at the timelines and in numerous different Bibles that I have, and it's amazing how some of them don't agree. But I do believe this. I believe from 1 Kings chapter 17 to this point, it was roughly 4 to 5 years. So where do you get that from, Brother Dave? Well, we know that the drought was 3.5 years, right? And so Elisha prayed and the rain came, and then Elisha went into the wilderness. There was 40 days, the Bible talks about, when he went into the wilderness and went to the mountain. God, the angel told him, Elisha, you need to get some food for the journey. It's a 40-day journey. And so he went into the wilderness. I don't know how long it took him to get back from the wilderness, but I'm assuming if it took him 40 days to get there, it probably took him a couple of days to get back. And so I don't know how long it's been, but probably 4 years, maybe 5 years. I'm not sure. The Bible doesn't 100% say. I don't believe. Maybe it does. But it's been about 4 years since Elijah stepped on the scene. And so Elijah, from 1 Kings 17:1 to 1 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 15, I'm thinking it's about 4 years. From 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 15 until 2 Kings chapter number 2, where Elijah departs, I believe it's 2 Kings chapter number 2, I think it's roughly 10 to 15 years. I can't guarantee you how many. You can look and do the research yourself. Maybe you can come back and tell me. But I believe it's about 10 to 15 years. So Elijah did what he did in those first 4 or 5 years, and now for the next 10 or 15 years, you don't hear a whole lot about Elijah. We're going to look at a couple more accounts in Elijah's life, but I'll just be honest with you. We're a long ways into this thing. We're getting ready to end out Elijah's life. Not much left in the stories. But it covers a span of 10 to 15 years. And so what's that tell me? That tells me that Elijah invested in Elisha. And if we're going to disciple people, if we're going to train people, if we're going to teach people, it is going to take an investment. We're going to have to be willing to give of ourselves and give of our time to help. And I personally believe this, and I want you to listen to it. I'm going to be quick tonight. I got to stop saying that. I'm going to preach till God tells me to stop. If I'm all right, if I'm okay and I don't disobey God, I've been begging him all day, God, let me preach till you say stop, and then I'll stop. But I'll tell you this, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that the greatest, I wrote it down and I don't want to miss it. I personally believe that Elijah's greatest accomplishment was not the drought. It was not the meal in the barrel. I don't even know that it was raising the woman's child from the dead. I don't think that Elijah's greatest accomplishment was calling fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. You know what I think Elijah's greatest accomplishment was? Elisha. You say, how could you say something like that, Brother Dave? Well, one, because if you don't have a successor, you're probably not a success. But number two, we all know the story. Some believe that Elisha did double the miracles that Elijah did. I don't know that the Bible teaches that 100% sure. I read someone that said Elijah did 8 miracles, and they listed the miracles, and I could have told them to you tonight. And then Elisha did 16 miracles. And I do believe that Elisha did double the miracles, but I wouldn't go to arguing about it. But I'll say this, he got a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And so after the rain had came, are you with me? After the rain had came, after the barrel had went empty, after the fire had failed, after the smoke had descended, after all those things had happened, can I tell you what was still going on? Elisha. His ministry was still going strong. And so Elijah, I believe, his greatest accomplishment was not the miracles. It wasn't Mount Carmel. It was the man that he invested in that went on to do more and greater things for God than Elijah did. That's discipleship. And Elijah was willing to invest in Elisha because Elijah realized, this ain't about me. And went to God that I would understand, this ain't about me. And I know that Brother Muller, I've seen enough and heard enough today, it realizes this ain't about him. That was his Sunday school. When he was in Sunday school this morning, he said, man, some of you not getting this. And I was getting it. I was getting it because I knew what I was preaching tonight. And I was getting what he was saying. You know what he was saying? This ain't about me. It's about the kingdom. It's about what I can do. It's how I can invest to further God's kingdom. And the greatest way that I can invest in furthering God's kingdom, and the greatest way that you can invest in furthering God's kingdom, is finding somebody else that's in the kingdom and investing in them and teaching them and training them and committing faithful things that's been given to you to them so that they can do likewise. That's how the gospel goes on. We have got to train our children. God challenged me. I want to do it in the church, but God forbid I do it in the church and I don't do it in my home. As parents, you know what our job is? Our job is to take what we've been given and give it to our children so that they can give it to their children and their children can give it to their children. And there's examples of that in this building today. Thank God for it. Dr. Thompson, 97 years old, is coming to the end of this life. And you know what the greatest accomplishment probably Dr. Thompson's ever done? It's sitting on that row back there. His grandchildren, his great-grandchildren in the house of God. That's what I'm talking about. That's discipleship. Brother Larry's not here tonight, but Brother Larry's son's here tonight, and Brother Larry's son's here tonight, and Brother Larry's son's are here tonight. That is what I'm talking about. That's what I want to do. My pastor's children are here, and his children's children are here. And by the grace of God, if Jesus doesn't come, I hope his children's 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 children are in the house of God, serving God, because that's how the work of God is going to continue on. Amen. And Elijah understood this. Amen. Elijah said, I'm going to go invest in Elisha. I'll spend the rest of my days, if God gives me, investing in this prophet, because God said, Elijah, I've got something I want you to do. You've done your part. You've been to Mount Carmel. You called down fire from heaven. But now, Elijah, I want you to go anoint Elisha to take your place, to sit in your room, to be the prophet of God so that the work of God can go beyond you, Elijah. And so the discipleship, the prophet's part, his investment. I thought about Bible examples, David, how he invested. You can read about it, 1 Kings here. David, God said, David, you're not going to build the kingdom. Solomon is. You know what David did? He invested. He invested. He worked. He bought all the stuff. He got everything in place. He told Solomon, Solomon, son, God's not going to let me build the kingdom. I've been a bloody man, but God's going to let you build the kingdom, Solomon. And David invested in Solomon. Moses invested in Joshua. Barnabas invested in Paul and Mark. Two separate people. Paul invested in Timothy and Titus. Jesus invested in his disciples. And on and on and on it goes. That's how the gospel continues to go forward. That's the Great Commission. It's discipleship. And God tells Elijah, Elijah, I've got a task for you to do. It may be the greatest task you ever do. Go train Elisha. And so we see the prophet. Number two, we see the pupil. Elisha. Let's look at the pupil's inception. How did it all start? Inception, that means the beginning, the start of things. It started with a call. Look at it. Verse number 19, Elijah came and he cast his mantle upon him. And that was a call. He called Elisha to come and follow him. Not only was the inception a call, but there was a cost. Look at verse number 20. It says, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. And he said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back, look at this, from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and he slew them, and look at this, he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen. You say, what does that mean? That means Elisha understood there's a cost to following Elijah, and I'm willing to pay the cost. He took the oxen that he was using to make a living, and he boiled them. And you know what he boiled them with? The instrument that, I believe it was the yoke that he was using, the instrument. He took the wood from the yoke that was on those oxen, and he started a fire, and he put water on that fire, and he put the flesh in the fire, and he boiled the oxen on the instruments that he was using to work those oxen. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I'm committed. I am committed. I'm willing to pay the cost, and I'm willing to be committed. And the Bible says he went after him. And so there's a call, and there's a cost, and there is a commitment. And Elisha was willing to do all of those things. The Bible says in verse number 21, it says, then he arose, look at it, and went after Elijah. He was committed. He said, I'm in. If you're not careful, you read that and you think, well, what about when Jesus told that guy, I think it's over in Luke, and he talks about going back and burying his family. Totally different situation here. Totally different situation. That man was making an excuse. This man was just saying, hey, look, I just want to go. I'm going to go tell my family what's going on. I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to boil the oxen. I'm going to burn the bridges, and I'm coming after you. Elijah said, what do I have to do with thee? He said, can I go back? He said, what do I have to do with you? You know what Elijah says? Elijah said, hey, man, I didn't call you. God did. You do what you got to do. Elijah said, hey, you do what you got to do. But he was committed. And so we see the call. We see the cost. We see the commitment. So the pupil's inception. Not only that, we see the pupil's involvement. Look at verse number 21. It says at the end of it, then he arose and went after Elijah. And look at it. And ministered unto him. He got involved. He got involved. I thought about that Samuel, like what Samuel did for Eli. Remember, the Bible says that Samuel, when he was a young boy, he ministered unto the Lord and to Eli in the house of God. He was serving. That's what Joshua did for Moses. The Bible says that Moses, my servant is dead, and Joshua, his servant, right? Joshua ministered unto Moses. Joshua served Moses. And so the Bible says that Elisha, he got involved. He began to serve Elijah. The Bible actually says, turn over to 2 Kings real quick, just a couple pages. Probably three or four pages. 2 Kings chapter number 3. The Bible says in verse number 11, this is after Elijah has passed, he's took off, right? He's went up in the whirlwind. In chapter number 3, in verse number 11, it says, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the kings of Israel's servants answered and said, look at it. He said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, look at it, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. That's how he was known. He was known as a minister, as a servant. At this point in time, he hasn't done his miracles. He's just starting his ministry. But up until this point, for the past 10 to 15 years, you know what Elisha's been doing? He's been ministering and serving alongside of Elijah, the man of God. He's been learning. He's been involved in the ministry, doing what he can do. And so we see his involvement. And then last, we see the pupils identifying. I thought about this. You know, when you really think about it, when you think about all that has transpired in Israel at this time, this is big. This is big. Elijah is a wanted man, okay? You say, well, he got called fire down and all the people repented and the rain came. There, he's a hero. Nah, chapter 19, Jezebel said, kill him. He's still a hunted man. He's still a wanted man. 2 Kings chapter number 1 or 2, you'll find they're hunting him again. 50 soldiers coming up, finding him on a hill. He's calls fire down from heaven again, right? So I want you to understand, Elijah's not the most popular person in town. But you know what Elijah says? I'll identify with him. And that's discipleship. I'm willing to identify with him. I'm going to go and I'm going to serve him, and I don't care what it costs. I'm committed. I'm going to identify with the man of God. He actually even says in 2 Kings chapter number 2, when Elijah's departing up, he says, my father. I mean, he calls him his father. He's not his father, not physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, he's his father. He's invested in him. He's been involved in his life, and Elisha has identified with Elijah. Try saying Elisha and Elijah about 100 times and see how you do. That's right. It's not easy. He said, speaking Spanish, converting it to English, converting Elijah to Elisha is like converting Spanish to English. It's tough, right? So we see, number one, the prophet. Number two, the pupil. And number three, and I don't have sub-points. This is my last point and we're done. I want to see the picture. You say, what's all this mean, Brother David? What does this picture? I think it's interesting. I think it pictures a lot of things. I think it could picture, who did Elijah, who came in the power and in the spirit of Elijah? Do you know? Anybody? John the Baptist, right? He was the forerunner for Jesus, right? It's very interesting if you study the life of Elisha that he is kind of a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus. You look at the miracles that Elisha done. He multiplied the food. He raised the dead. Even after he was dead, somebody touched his dead body and they resurrected. He was a picture, an Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Elijah could be a picture of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think that's an interesting picture. And there's all kinds of types there. And Elijah, you could use all that stuff. But more important than that, I want to give you this picture. I think this is a picture of New Testament discipleship. It's New Testament discipleship. More than anything, that's what I believe this is a picture of. There's a call. When you got saved, you got called. You got called by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God called you. And if you're saved, you responded to that call and you got saved by the grace of God. And if you've counted the cost and said, I'm willing to follow Jesus, I am committed to his cause. I'm burning the bridges. I'm bowling the oxen. I'm not worried about anything else. Everything else is secondary. Number one in my life, before I'm a painter, right? I'm a painter. And not one of them fancy Van Gogh painters. Yeah, that's right. One of them white suit wearing, you know, yeah. One of them. I just don't drink like the rest of them. But I'm a painter. But before I'm a painter, you know what I am? A Christian. A Christian. And before you're a sprinkler man, or before you're a mechanic, or before you're a carpenter, or before you're a business owner, or before you're a whatever you do, can I tell you, you ought to be a Christian. Elisha said, I'm a Christian, and I believe New Testament discipleship is, I've been called by the grace of God, I've been called to salvation, I've been called to follow God, I've counted the cost, I'm committed to the cost, and I'm telling you right now, it's not the good thing is, there's compensation. I want to close with this. Go to Mark chapter number 10, and I'll close with this verse of scripture. Mark chapter number 10. New Testament example of this Old Testament story. New Testament example of this Old Testament story. Mark chapter number 10. Verse number 29. Well, let's start in verse number 28. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Peter said, we answered the call. Remember, Jesus came on the Sea of Galilee. I preached a series of messages on Peter at the end of last year. And Jesus came there on the Sea of Galilee and he called Peter to follow him. And Peter said, hey, we answered the call. We counted the cost. We laid down our nets. We forsook all. The Bible says, I believe in Matthew chapter number 4. I don't know, maybe verse 4, I'm not sure. It says they forsook all and followed him. So Peter said, we've answered the call. We counted the cost. We laid down our nets. We're committed. We following you, Jesus. He says in verse number 28, then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you. It's interesting. So I got to say this. He said it this morning. You is plural. Am I right here? You is plural. Help me out. Make sure I'm right, Pastor Brandon. Thee and thou are singular, okay? This is a good lesson to learn when you read your Bible. I always have to, I question myself every time. You is plural. Peter said, we've left all and followed you. And Jesus said to Peter and to all the rest of them, you is plural. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. I'm telling you right now, that ought to fire Brother Muller up right there. Because there's nobody that's left house and father and mother and sisters and brethren and land. Nobody that's followed me for the gospel's sake. Verse 30 says, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. You're going to have some problems, right? With persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, hey, this is discipleship. If you'll follow me, if you'll answer the call, if you'll count the cost, if you'll get committed, there is compensation. He says, I'll give you everything you left behind and more. You say, are you preaching a prosperity gospel, Brother David? I'm not preaching the kind of prosperity gospel you think I'm preaching, but I am preaching a prosperity gospel. Jesus said, if you'll follow me, if you'll leave those things, I'll give you a whole bunch more. You say, what? Are you going to have a house in Malibu and a house in California? Well, some of them do, but most of them are hirelings. No, you know what he says? He says, you'll have a house in Rutgersville, and you'll have a house in Madison at Brother Brian's house, and you'll have a house in Culpeper at somebody else's house. Everywhere you go, you'll have a house. You'll have brothers. You'll have sisters. You'll have mothers. Can I tell you, I got numerous mothers in the building tonight. I'm telling you right now, Miss Sharon is a mother to me. Nana is a mother to me. Miss Jenny's been like a mother to me. I'm telling you right now, there's mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and there's houses and there's blessings that God says, I'll give you. I'm sure, Brother Mullen, I'm sorry I keep using you tonight, but it's a perfect illustration of what I'm trying to preach. I'm sure in Mexico, Brother Muller's got some brothers and some sisters and some houses and some places that he can go. And when he shows up, the door swings open. Come on in, sit down, have a meal. Why? Because God's promised that if we'll count the cost, if we'll get committed, if we'll follow him, he'll compensate us 100-fold in this life and the life to come. It's the best life you can live. Amen. Elijah said, Elisha, I'm going to invest in you. Follow me. Elisha said, I'm all in. I sure am glad for the people that's invested in me. I couldn't help but prepare this message to think about our pastor, how he's invested in my life. How God has used him to help me and been a blessing to me. And you know what I want to do? I want to do that for somebody else. I've been praying this week. God, who do you want me to invest in? God, who can I get involved with? Whose life can I pour into? Who can I try to train? Who can I try to teach? But I tell you, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. There's the pupil side. Elisha made the decision, I'll go. And I wonder tonight, is there a Elijah in the building tonight and there's somebody you'd like to mentor? Or is there even an Elisha in the building tonight that would say, please, somebody mentor me. I want to learn. I want to serve. I want to do something great for God. That's New Testament Christianity. That's the Great Commission. That's discipleship. That's what Elijah was to Elisha. What a great story. The discipleship of Elijah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you would bless it. God, use it, Lord, in my life. And God, I pray you use it in the lives of your people. God, I pray there'd be some Elijahs here tonight looking for someone that they could invest in. God, I pray there'd be some Elishas here tonight that are willing to be involved and willing to be invested in. And willing to be instructed and willing to do what you would have them to do. And God, help us to carry out this great commission that you've given to the church and to disciple people so that the work can go forward and that you could get the glory. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can stand to your feet. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and I'm going to turn the invitation over to the pastor. Piano's going to begin to play. Altars are open. If you'd like to come, you come.
Thank you, Pastor David. Good Bible message.